of the Spirit. And, oh yeah, and I forget, Taya wants me to announce June the 8th, which is going to be a Wednesday night, we're going to have a volunteer appreciation banquet. So we're going to feed, I don't know what we're going to do, but we'll probably maybe pizza or something like that, but we're going to be talking about the Church Center app and about different places you can serve in the church. And so that's going to be on June the 8th at what time? Six? 6 o'clock.
If you're not a volunteer, you want to be.
Yeah, and if you're not a volunteer, I like Taya's comment. She said, if you're not a volunteer, then you want to be one. And you want to come to that night. And in the ones that are volunteering, you come, keep feeding me the information. Okay, thank you. And you want to be here. If you don't volunteer, I love what one guy said at a men's retreat. He said, then you're going to be voluntold. Voluntold what to do. All right, if you have, and I'm sorry about the, we're trying to adjust the airs in here, guys. I know the humidity has got us all. My jacket is like soaked right now. I feel like I'm in menopause. Lord, forgive me for saying that. All right. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 5 and John chapter 15. Galatians chapter 5 and John chapter 15. And we started this series last Sunday about the book of Acts. And talking about, we went through Acts chapter 1, a little bit of Acts chapter 1, and we talked about where Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But he said, wait for the power from on high. And so as I've been praying about this and knew that Mother's Day was coming up the very next Sunday, I knew that I could either do, you know, as a pastor, I can do a traditional Mother's Day message. But I wanted to stay in this vein. I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, no, I want you to stay in this vein about the Holy Spirit, about the book of Acts. And something that the Lord placed in my heart, and I was talking to Jada about this, and she was the one that really spirit. I should let her preach this today. She said, no, you're going to do it for me since it's Mother's Day. But she was talking to me. She said, she was talking to me about the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And this is verses 22 through 25 that we're going to look at in just a second. And so I was thinking about what I taught on last Sunday. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, Mark, what I'm wanting to do, what I'm doing right now in the body of Christ is I'm taking my people and I'm working sanctification into them by my Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Because, some of you in here have been around Pentecostal charismatic churches for a long time, some of you longer than I have. And so when we hear about the power of God in the book of Acts, immediately, and I'll be honest with you, my mind goes to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, faith, miracles, healings, all those kind of things. And I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit told me today. That's all fine and good, and there's been lots of people in the body of Christ, men and women, who have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have the character to back it up, and their ministries fail. I don't want to be like that. Amen? I don't want any of you to be like that. And so what the Holy Spirit began to do in me, and he said, Mark, what I'm trying to do is build character in my people so that they can withstand my power so more people will come in the kingdom of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is actually the character of Jesus. And that's what the Lord spoke to me and said, Mark, what I'm trying to do in Galatians chapter 5, that's the deeper work of the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better than gifts. And I'm not knocking the gifts, okay, because I want the gifts flowing in here as well. But he said, but the deeper work is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that's producing in your life. And so this is in Galatians chapter 5, and this is the Apostle Paul. And if you'll read, I'm just going to read a portion of Galatians 5. I encourage you to read all of Galatians 5 because it talks about what every one of you and I deal with is the flesh and the Holy Spirit. Walking in the flesh or walking in the Spirit. I'm going to be honest with you, and that's what's going at war in us. The enemy's already been defeated 2,000 years ago. What we're having to work on is crucifying our flesh so that we can walk in the Spirit. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sitting here teaching this today, and I had two, you may have had more than one, but I had two things happen to me this week that I wanted to walk in the flesh so bad. Have you ever been there? Just willfully go, you know what, God, I know I'm saved, but I'm going to check out for just a little bit. I'll come back and you'll forgive me, you know. And I had two of those. Some of you are looking at me holier than thou. I see Caden over here, my nephew. I was thinking about, I had more of those moments on the golf course yesterday. But play golf, you'll find out how sanctified you are. And but anyway, I had a couple situations with people, okay. But I have to realize that we don't fight against flesh and blood, and you have to remind yourself of that. Because I wanted to get in the flesh, and let's have a fight. Amen? I'll just be honest with you. Can pastor, I'm being confessions of a pastor today. I'm just like you. I'm no different than you. And it's daily getting up, crucifying the flesh, and walking in the Spirit. Some of you, and Mark and I were talking about this week. He's a coach, and he was talking about, you know, before games, he's like, I got to consciously pray through and say, and he goes, and I still blow it, because he's type A personality, competitive, all those things I am as well. And he said, you know, to really walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh, it's harder than you think when you're trying to do it in and of yourself. But if you'll let the Holy Spirit do his deep work in you, it's really easy. Everybody said, even in the midst of chaos and people shouting and screaming, if you're prayed up and got the fruit of the Spirit, you can walk in it. You really can. But it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, not the power of you. But this is Galatians 5, verses 22 through 25. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, everybody say the fruit of the Spirit, is, it's not are, it's is, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh, there it is, with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So this whole chapter, Galatians 5, is talking about the flesh versus the Spirit. With this being Mother's Day, I read a Mother's Day or a mom's blog this week online, and she was talking about, you know, Mother's Day and the fruit of the Spirit. And she said, she had this quote, and I liked it. She goes, there's some days I'll confess I do really good as a mama, and I'm walking in the Spirit, but then there's some days I walk in the flesh. And she says this, but the fruit of the mom flesh is nagging, yelling, annoyance, harshness, manipulation, shaming, and lack of self-control. And I thought that's really good. She's being an honest mama right there. But the fruit, what I want you to understand is a lot of people think that the fruit of the Spirit, there's nine different fruits. It's not. It's one fruit. But there's nine different flavors, okay? So I love, a pastor said that, and I thought it was really good. The fruit of the Spirit is one fruit with nine different flavors. And I'm going to go through these nine real quick, and then we're going to get to where I feel like the Holy Spirit said I want you to get to today here in just a second. But as we go through this, as we go through each nine, and I'm going to have a scripture or two for each one of the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to look at each nine of these flavors that make up the fruit of the Spirit. But I want you to keep this in mind. There may be one that's going to jump out to you, or more than one, that, hey, I need the Holy Spirit to work with me on that one, okay? And all you got to do is just submit that to the Lord, and he'll work with you on that, okay? But I want you to also think about this. When you're talking about the flesh in Galatians 5, it's always talking about me, 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 what I want. The fruit of the Spirit, when we go through this, I want you to notice something. The fruit of the Spirit is always others-minded. Even though the fruit's happening in you, the Holy Spirit, the seed of God's Word, is taking root in you, and you're starting to produce Jesus in your life, the fruit is actually for someone else. Yes. It's for other people to come and pick fruit from you, to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want, when people taste Mark Haney, I want to walk away saying, man, Jesus is good. Jesus tastes good. Instead of walking away going, okay, right? If you've ever been around people like that, you walk away like, oh my gosh, you know. So, all right. We're all on the same. We all deal with this every day, guys. In your marriage, family, relationships, work, you got to every day crucify the flesh to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. Okay, number one is love. Everywhere through Scripture, anytime things are mentioned, the number one thing is always love, because God is love. And it's, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, and it says, now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest thing is love. All right? Love is what sent Jesus to us to die in our place. And in John 13, verse 34, it says, a new commandment, this is Jesus speaking, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. There's something happening in the world today. There's so much criticism, so much division, so much stuff going on. It's seeping into the body of Christ. And I want you to hear me out, okay? We have to stand up for issues, okay? There's a thing going on right now about abortion. Yes, Christians need to stand up about that, right? Okay? But what we have to do, we have to be careful that we've got to let our love be louder, okay? Let your love be louder. And I had a pastor friend of mine tell me that, and I thought, man, that is so good. That, yeah, we got to stand up for issues and things that are going on, stand up for truth, but we got to let our love be louder. All right, here's number two. Number two is joy. And this is a joy that's on the inside. It's not about happiness and circumstances that are happening on the outside. It's you can be going through hell on earth and still have the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your strength, is what the Word says in Nehemiah. But in James 1:2, he says, my brethren, how many of you do this? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. No, come on, James. What are you, you know, where are you living, dude? But that's what you got to do. That's crucifying the flesh. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. You know what I did this week with the two things that were happening? Two things, and I'm not going to go into detail, so don't even ask me after church, okay? But two things happening in the church, okay, that I could have gotten the flesh about because it really upset me. But where I did was I did what James said, and this is a mindset shift. I thought, this is what I thought. If that's happening, then God's up to something. Okay? And he is. God is up to something. If that's happening, because here's what the light does. I was talking to Leroy and Janice about this, and they know this. The light of God, when the light is shining bright in a church, okay, it attracts people, but it also attracts bugs.
Yes.
All right. You know what you do with bugs? You kill them. All right. You know, you try to get them saved, first of all. try to debug them, you know. But if you need an exterminator, the Holy Spirit can do that too. But that's where my mind went, because at first I wanted to get in these two situations. I wanted to get in the flesh, but God said, Mark, I'm up to something. That's why this stuff is happening. Rejoice. Like, praise God, all right? Then, God, you take care of it, all right? And he's like, no, I sent you there to take care of it. All right, so number two is joy. Number three is peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Anytime that you don't have peace, and I'm just going to tell you, don't make decisions without the peace of God, all right? Wait until you have that peace, because if you don't have it, something's not right. And I don't care how good it looks or how bad it looks. I mean, you got to move by the peace of God. And so if you don't have peace about situations or things that are going on, keep your mind stayed on him, and he'll give you that peace. Here's one's patience. Lord, I need patience, and I need it right now. That's kind of my prayer. How many of you are impatient people? I'm just going to be honest with you. I am. I'm an impatient person. Take me to Walmart, and I need Jesus. I need to get saved all over again, because I'll go get my stuff. And see, here's my philosophy at Walmart, and I pray this goes out all over the globe. My philosophy at Walmart is I'm not going to self-check, okay? Either that or pay me to self-check. Give me a huge discount to self-check. I want checkers. But then I go up front, and I just about lose my salvation because there's two lanes open, sometimes just one, and there's 24 lanes. Now you're hearing my gripe today. So then I'm just an impatient guy, and I'm like, God, I want to get out of here. And then Jada will go, well, then let's go self-check. I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm going to that lane if I have to wait all day, you know. And so there you go. I'm telling off on myself. But here's Luke 21, verse 19. This is where I don't possess my soul very well at Walmart. By your patience, possess your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you've got to be a patient person to possess your soul, all right? Hebrews 6:12, I love this scripture. It says, but imitate those who through faith, it's through faith and patience that you inherit the promises of God. I wish it was through faith, and it happens right now. And it's most of the time, and I believe there is a right now God and right now faith and all that, but the scripture says in Hebrews 6:12, it's through faith and patience that you inherit the promises of God. And here's, I'm going to just give you a little tidbit on this one on patience. The prayer that God will always answer is, Lord, give me patience. Guaranteed, every time, I promise you. Number five is, some of you didn't like that, and I didn't like it either. My flesh is screaming. That's why I went to kindness. All right, number five, because when I'm in Walmart, I'm like, Lord, give me a lane now, right? You know, open up a new lane. Jada's looking at me like, you move on for Walmart. She's telling me I need Jesus at Walmart. Number five is kindness. This is Titus 3, verses 4 through 5. It says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, kindness. It doesn't cost anything to be nice and kind to people. And, you know, what I do, and I know a lot of you do this too, in work, you know, you deal with people and you come across people that aren't kind, they're rude. And the minute you find a kind person, I want their phone number and I want their extension number, wherever they work at, because that's who I want to deal with. I don't want to deal with rude people. Kindness goes a long ways, guys. We need kindness. Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Here's number six, is goodness. I love goodness because Romans 2:4 says, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The day that I found out how good God was is when I was like, I want this Jesus. He's good. The reason why people flock to see Jesus and hear Jesus when He was here on this planet is because of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. They felt the love. They felt this. They was tasting this fruit, and they wanted more of it. Number seven is faithfulness. Lamentations 3, verse 23 says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful, and He wants us to be faithful. He doesn't want us to be wishy-washy. Here today, gone tomorrow. He wants you to stay faithful. You need to be faithful through the good times and through the bad times, because you're going to have both in this life. Number eight is gentleness. Gentleness, and this is a huge, huge one. They're all huge, okay? But Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perseverance in it breaks the spirit. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Have you ever fought somebody through somebody else? You know, like they were getting somebody else, and you're like, yeah, get him. Anybody ever done that? That's not gentle, right? That's not gentle at all. I just thought of this, and I got to share this story. It's a golf course story, okay? Thank God I have nephews. Amen? I have nephews that I can fight through. I'm confessing something today. Caden was with me. We're playing. I pick up, there's a ball out on a golf course, and I'm just, how many of you play golf a lot, okay? Some of you do. And it's just like, it's like a sin to get somebody else's ball, right? All right? And I'm on the golf course, and we're playing, and I accidentally pick up this guy's, or hit his ball, because I thought it was my ball. He was on another hole, and he was an older gentleman. After I'd hit it, then I realized what I'd done. Well, I went to get the ball, because I hit it towards the green. I didn't get on the green. I went and found his ball where I hit it to, and I'm trying to bring it back to where it was at because I realized it wasn't my ball. And in the midst of all this, here he comes, this man. And so I'm very apologetic. Sir, I'm so sorry. He said, well, he was really rude about it. He said, well, where was it at? I said, well, it was right here. He goes, well, do you know exactly where it was at? And I was like, well, you know, not exactly, but it was, you know, in this area. He goes, well, I'm playing for money. And I wanted to say, well, you shouldn't be. You know, but he was like, well, I'm playing for money. I need to know where my ball was at, you know. And I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, I feel Tabasco sauce. I feel flesh starting to happen to Mark Haney out on the golf course. And I'm like, Lord, I need saving now. Caden, my nephew, comes wheeling up his golf cart, picks up the ball and goes over there and throws it down. He goes, here it is. And I won't tell you what he said to him, but I was just like, what else he told him, because we're in church. And I was just like, thank you, Jesus, that I got nephews that'll take up for their Uncle Mark. But here I was. I'm in the flesh He's doing it for me. How many of you ever done that before? Okay, let's be honest. I have, and I'm confessing that now because Caden's here today. I got to get that out in the open. So that's not very gentle when you do things like that. You can't do that. You can't live through somebody else in the flesh. All right, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Here's number 9 is self-control. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. And so self-control is a big thing. And it goes in all areas. A lot of times we think, well, I got self-control. I can contain myself. I have self-control, Pastor Mark. Then give me your cell phone for a day. See how much control you got. Because a lot of us are attached to our phones. And I'm talking about myself, too. In my house, you know, I'm just giving you little examples of self-control. Some things that the Lord, even when I was preparing this, there's some, and I don't want to get, got to be careful how I say this, because I don't believe in legalism, but when the Holy Spirit, sometimes there's, and I love the teaching that's on grace, okay, and I believe in God's grace. But here's the deal. God's grace isn't a license to stay in the flesh, okay? God's grace is to help you grow in the Holy Spirit. That's what God's grace is there for. And you know, self-control is a big thing. And so the Lord had been convicting me of some things I've been watching on TV, okay? Mark, if you want to grow in sanctification, some of the stuff you don't need to be watching, listening to, hearing, you know. And then, you know, so that, and then one of the things that the Lord's been speaking to me is about, because I'm 52 now, all right, is once you get, I know you young guys don't think about this yet, but once you get in your 50s, you start thinking about, you know, exercise, your health, all those kind of things. And I, you know, I'm 52, but I still eat like when I was 18. Well, I don't have the testosterone or anything else like that that's going through my body to help me to get rid of all those calories and carbs and all that stuff. And I'm just telling you, even self-control with your eating. Everything's okay. And I'm not saying give up desserts. Everything's good in moderation. But I can sit down with a tub of peanut butter and syrup and feel every crack in my heart and be in heaven. And be in heaven and gain 30 pounds in one sitting, okay? But that's my, that, and you've all heard my downfall with peanut butter. That's my downfall. That's like my go-to thing to fill up the cracks of my heart. I do a lot of emotional eating. I'm just confessing it right now. And God's, yeah, thanks, Will. I got one guy in the room that's agreeing with me. And what the Lord showed, and we laugh about that, and I laugh about that, but what it is, it's a lack of self-control. And I need the Holy Spirit to help me in that area, okay? And whatever area it is that you're out of control in, that's what you need to pray. Holy Spirit, help me to get some self-control in this area. Amen. Okay. So Jada doesn't buy peanut butter anymore. That's how my self-control goes. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And I wanted to read these scriptures because this is characterizing the people that in the last days. This is the Apostle Paul. And I just want you to, we're living in this day, folks. But this is, there's people walking around out here that do not have the fruit of the Spirit, and this is what it looks like. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and that doesn't mean just young people, that means at any age, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people, turn away. Don't hang out with those kind of people, is what God, because bad company corrupts good character. Happens every time, all right? But God wants you to stay in Him and abide in Him until you get strong enough so that you can get around them so that they can eat the fruit off of your life and taste and see that the Lord is good. All right? Now we're going to go to John chapter 15, and this is what I'm going to close with today. All right? Because my question is this. We just talked about the fruit of the Spirit, but here's my deal. I want to know, God, how do I grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Right? How do we grow in it? And it's not, I don't want you to leave here today, I'm going to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, you know, because it's not in our willpower. We can't do it, all right? We need help. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Jade and I were having this talk this week is in Scripture, and I want you to hear me out on this, okay? The Father, when Jesus came on the scene, he called God his Father, all right? Book of Genesis, men and women, male and female, come out of the Father, right? Everybody with me? We're having this conversation about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a mom, okay, if you'll let me say that, because he brings comfort, he brings help, he's a counselor. It's just, he's just, when you study the Scripture and you see all the attributes of the Holy Spirit and what he does in us, it's like mom taking care of you, okay? And so in John chapter 15, in John 14 through John chapter 16, this is Jesus teaching them that I'm about to go away, and I'm going to send a comforter, I'm going to send a helper, I'm going to send you a counselor, he's going to lead you in all truth, and he's the Holy Spirit, okay? And in John chapter 15, this is what he says. Jesus says, I am the true vine, everybody say true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, everybody say vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide, I'm going to come back to that, in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Okay? This is real simple. What we got to do. In verse 4, he says, I want you to abide, and that the word abide means this. It means stay in place for a long time. That means you've got to be faithful for this fruit, for God's seed to begin to grow in you, which is Jesus, and for that fruit to start coming out of your life. You're going to have to abide, stay with him for a long time. You're going to have to stay hooked up, and everybody say amen, okay? No backsliding here, all right? It says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear. And what I want you to realize this, you and I are branches, okay? We can't produce nothing, okay? We can't produce anything. We're just a branch. And so he says, but what you can do, that word bear, or that you cannot bear, it means that we're to carry or display the fruit, okay, of itself, unless it abides in the vine. So when we abide in the vine, we're going to have that fruit come on our life. It's not us that's producing this. It's Jesus that's producing it in us. But we're going to carry that fruit, and we're going to display it to a world that desperately needs to see the fruit of the Spirit, which is Jesus. Okay? And so how do I grow? Here's the last three things I want to give you today. How do I grow the fruit of the Holy Spirit in my life? Number one, you've got to realize this. Jesus is the vine, which that means he is the root. Okay? Jesus is the root. The fruit comes from the root. That's good. The fruit comes from the root, which is Jesus. The root is what produces the fruit, not you. You're in this sanctification process with the Lord. He's going to produce that fruit in you. We are the branches. And then number three, the Father is the vine dresser. Jade and I went over to, over Easter, her family, her uncle had invited us to go on a cruise with them, and we got to see some places over in Italy that we'll, you know, it was a bucket list trip, it was a lot of fun, but one of the things that we saw were a lot of vineyards, okay, and they drink wine over there like we drink tea here in southern Oklahoma, you know, in western Oklahoma, I mean, in the south. But they have vineyards everywhere. Families are growing vineyards. They've been there for hundreds of years. And we took one tour of, or an excursion, and they talked about this vineyard. They had two older vineyards, one on one side and the other on the other side of the island or wherever we were at. I can't remember where we was at on this deal, but they were really talking about the fruit of the vine, the grapes and all this. And what I thought was very interesting, the vines that produced the best fruit were the vines that had to go through struggles. and they were growing. And so count it all joy when you're going through things, because God's really producing his fruit in you, and that fruit's going to remain. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So if you're going through something today, just know that God's producing some fruit in you. Amen. So the fruit displayed in our lives comes from the root, which is Jesus. Jesus is our vine and root who produces the fruit of the Spirit in us. Abide in and stay connected to Jesus during the difficult times in life so that you can display the fruit Jesus produces in you by abiding in him on a constant basis so that people can taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. And if you're ever there's times, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm, you know, pastor, Christian, that there'll be times where I'll come home and I'm short with Jada, okay? You're lacking in some fruit, you know. You're lacking in some fruit. It's time to get fruity, okay? Because you're going to be out of the house if you don't, you know, get fruity again. And so then that's where you got to, you know, God, forgive me for getting out from the vine and letting the cares of this life get me all jacked up in my mind and, you know, and just everything and anxiety and stress, and I don't have any peace. And so then I come out, because it always comes out to the ones that are closest to you. Amen. All right. They're the ones going to be able to tell you that you don't have no fruit. You don't taste very good right now. You need to go get with Jesus. You know, and I'm being serious. If you want to stop a fight in your house, if you married folks, just say, look at each other and say, you're not very fruity right now. Okay. And that'll make you laugh, and then you can go repent and get back in line. There's marriage counseling 101 right there for you. But it's the truth. I mean, this is stuff that you work out every day. Every day we're crucifying the flesh. Every day that we're in this work of the Holy Spirit, the sanctification, him producing that fruit in us. All right, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. Everybody learn something today?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody going to leave here fruity?
Yes.
Okay, fruitier, I should say. All right, I'm going to pray this over all of us today, because I know a lot of you have lots of great things planned with Mom, and if you need any kind of special prayer, we will be here to pray for you. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss here in just a little bit, but I want to say that if you need special prayer, we're going to be here to pray with you, but I know a lot of people have family plans and different things, but I want to pray this over all of us today, because this is just you know, every time we get together and we hear God's word is important. God's word is number one and needs to be the number one authority in our lives. And so I know we've all heard some things, and I've tried to make this, you know, try to funny, different, you know, but it's every day we've got to get up and make that pre-made decision to crucify the flesh and to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. So, Father, thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior. He's our vine, and he's also our root. And without Jesus, we're nothing, is what the Word says. And so, Lord, I ask you to produce fruit in us that is good and pleasing to you. Forgive us for the times that we haven't stayed close to you, Lord, and help us to abide in you means to stay there for a long time, stay there until we start producing this fruit. And it's our desire to display your fruit to others and bring your glory, God, to bring more people in the kingdom of God so that they can taste us and see that Jesus is good, that God is good. And, Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I thank you. Lord, I pray for those that are here today. God, if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, or those that are watching online, the Word says in Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation. And even if you have prayed this prayer, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Jada, would you come up here with me, please? And we're going to speak a blessing over you today. Happy Mother's Day. And if you need special prayer, we're here to pray with you guys, okay? So I want everybody to stand up. If you're there with mom, I want you to grab her hands with her, lay hands on her. Father, I want to thank you for moms today, first of all. God, moms, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. God, that is so true. God, we thank you for mothers. And as we were up here having communion today, my dad said something that he said, you know, thank you, Father, for choosing Mary to bring your son. It was through a mother that the Savior came. God, now we don't worship her, but we worship Jesus. But God, mothers are very important. Women are very important. Women were important in the lives of Jesus. They were important in his ministry. They're still important today, God, and we thank you for moms. God, and I pray just a special blessing over every mom that's here today, over every grandmother that's here today, God. Lord, I pray that they're going to go home and be honored the way that they should be today, God, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I just pray a special blessing over their moms today. Fill their cups to overflowing. I know they give, they give, they give. They give in their marriages to their spouses. They give to their children and to their grandchildren. So, God, fill their cups to overflowing today, God, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I want to bless your people today, God, out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug your mom or your grandma and say, Happy Mother's Day. Amen. And don't forget the gifts as you go out today. Amen. We got gifts for every mom.